Hello.
I must say that I resent the treatment of the position that to use only free software being treated as a religious issue, because to do that is to deny the rationale behind that, and it is actually treating it as a religious issue. It's actually giving up on the discussion and saying, I don't actually have any arguments to oppose to the arguments for using exclusively free software, so I'll just put it down as religious and let's be done with that. Besides that, I think it's rather funny to see a presentation by an NGO proposing the use of free software and NGOs and promoting the use of free software by NGOs done with proprietary software. It is kind of a contradiction. If you're going to promote the use of free software, you should be the first to do it to show that it actually works, and that it makes better use of your resources and everything, and that it that you take your security seriously and everything as well. Otherwise, it's kind of hard to make a point.
So that was the comment, that wasn't the question. So I would like to comment that comment if I'm able to. So first of all, I would like to comment the religious aspect. As you notice, it was in quotation mark. I personally don't have the problem with that. I mentioned that as a problem because that is how it is seen in the developing countries, and I'm sorry that the practice is like that. And secondly, of using the proprietary software when working with open source software and free software, I don't have a problem with that. As you can do different things, not using certain tools and promoting them. I'm just looking for a good example. I had very radical examples, unfortunately, about shooting and something like that. But let me think 1 second. Exactly. Yeah.
We've had a lot of experience working with both free and open software as well as proprietary software in the developing world. And I've been deeply surprised at times that it's actually very, very hard to convince people to try free and open software. I actually wrote a paper on this a couple of years ago for Linux Journal called Why Free Beer Doesn't Sell. It's surprisingly difficult in many cases, and there's a couple of reasons that are sort of worth noting. In a lot of the African countries that I've worked in, almost everyone who has expertise with software has expertise with proprietary software. And when you try to encourage someone to use an open package, they're aware that there's going to be almost no one within the community who's capable of supporting them. And so there ends up being something of a critical mass issue. Until you get to a critical mass of open source users, it's very, very hard to support that system. The other thing to keep in mind is that in a lot of the places that Mark and I work, in many cases, the main users, there's not a lot of individual users. The main users are business users. And as we've all seen, that's a long path to sort of make the sale within business of open platforms. When people are simply trying to get jobs and expertise with computing, and what they're saying is 99% of the jobs locally require knowledge of Windows, I've felt compelled to teach people to use Windows, even if it's not, particularly the software model that I would support. So, whether or not the word religious pisses people off, I do think it's worth noting that the idea that all software used in the developing world should be free and open is an idea that gets a lot of pushback from people in the developing world that we work with, and it's just important to recognize that.
Okay, other questions, remarks? So we have seen a variety of projects and approaches to this problem. I think one question could also be how to transfer the knowledge you have, for instance, in developing an infrastructure. You have with consultancy and also shifting to software development, or you have with your projects, or you with your hardware, into also the underdeveloped regions here in Europe or in the so-called Western world. I think it's also a question, I mean, politically, we had it yesterday too, how to organize, or maybe with political means or with subsidy, I don't know, how to organize the skill transfer back, you know, or in different points. I think this is what we can see is very skillful approaches and a lot of experiences and a lot of knowledge. And for me, it's still an open question during these days how we can learn really, or how can we organize learning from that, you know. So I don't know if you share this view.
I just I'm kind of paranoid about this situation that we face all the time, and we try to refer to that question that why I do promote open source software using hybrid, which is kind of software open source running over Mac OS X, which is FreeBSD anyway. But I like this question you ask, because however it was a comment only, because it trapped people in the dramatic situation that you have to be on one on the other side. But certainly you get advice from the doctor, not asking him if he's healthy or not, or what are his political sentiments, etc. So I think in certain situations you can promote things that you believe in, that are a good solution for certain things, not using certain applications, which I think I probably sound like idiot right now, but I'm quite happy with that as well.
Thank you. Other questions, comments?
I've been accused of being incredibly anti-Microsoft, and Microsoft continues to be upset with me in the way that I promote open and free software in use in education in Namibia. And obviously that's reached its sort of peaks at times over the last couple of years. I don't actually take much of a position there anymore, whether it's open or free or proprietary or not, so long as it's affordable to whoever your clients are, and so long as that technology is supported by whoever puts it in place. That's my bottom line. So if Microsoft wants to come along and do 1 million computers in Africa, if they are willing to underwrite and support the support of those technologies for 5 years at a time at $20,000 a pop, well then let them do so. So far, I have yet to see a proprietary software or hardware supplier in Africa come to the table to the extent that the free and open source movement has done so in Africa. And I continue to challenge these proprietary giants and distributors and manufacturers to come to the table in an equitable fashion, not just pay lip service to their wonderful marketing skills. On the NGO in the box thing, may I ask Thomas, who is here, whether you actually have a wireless plug-and-play, ready-to-go solution for people in, you know, in a box as well, wireless in a box?
Before Thomas does this, I just would like to say one more thing about this this question, because I was annoyed with that a lot. So actually the person left already, but it doesn't really matter. Yeah. I think that turns the discussion to the point that it becomes religious, and that's what I was trying to underline within the lessons learned. And I would turn it into another question, actually. Is it wrong if somebody like me here is promoting free and open source quite successfully in developing countries on a significant scale using basically OS, Mac OS? I don't think so. I think it's kind of good job. So
yeah, okay. I think we have to. So you can make a short remark. Otherwise, we have to. And then afterwards, we have to show.
I think just about the wireless in a box, I think that's one of the things that we're working on and have been working on for a while. It's a very difficult thing because the needs are different all over the world, but definitely the hardware that's showing up with Linksys boxes that are $50 boxes but run Linux helps us do that. And I think within the next probably 6 months, we'll have something that looks like that we can use specifically for that. And I might actually be using a different router at home. while promoting this one in the developing world.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks. So, thank you. Thank you for your attention. Thank you, Ethan, Joris, Samir, and Marek, for your presentations and the discussions. So we have seen that this bridging is still a big task and that there are different traps, but a lot of experiences and concise strategies. So thank you all, and I hope we can go on with the discussion, and also you're invited to the workshop with Samir. Okay, thank you. Please.